Thanks for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour. More than 40 million Americans speak Spanish, and millions more are learning. For all of you, I'd like to recommend NPR's Radio Ambulante. It's the podcast to hear incredible stories from all over Latin America and across the U.S. Hosted by novelist Daniel Alarcón, Radio Ambulante covers the region like no one else, reporting and storytelling en español. Radio Ambulante is on NPR One or wherever you listen to podcasts. Hey, Glenn Weldon.
Hey, Stephen Thompson. You are not Linda Holmes.
I am not. Linda is at the Toronto International Film Festival, so we are left to record an episode without her.
And we're going back to an evergreen, a segment we've been doing since the very early days of Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Yeah, we're
going
to go around the table, and each person will pick an entertainer we want to see succeed, somebody we want to hear more of.
On this episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour, we'll talk about people we're pulling for with our pals Katie Presley and Sam Sanders.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Helix, where one test can provide a lifetime of personal insights, from nutrition and fitness to family planning and entertainment. At Helix.com, discover a marketplace of DNA-powered products and find out what your DNA can tell you. Helix, crack your code.
With Linda out, we've got two guests. Katie Presley, what do you do when you're not on Pop Culture Happy Hour?
I write about feminism and pop culture on the internet, places like NPR Music and Bitch Media.
Wonderful. Thank you for being here. And Sam Sanders. Sam, you have some sort of podcast, right?
Little bitty thing. It is called It's Been a Minute.
It is a lovely, lovely show.
Well, you're on it sometimes.
I love it.
Which makes it lovely.
Nothing lovelier than being on Sam's podcast. All right. So we're here to talk about people we are pulling for, and I'm going to have Glenn kick us off.
Sure. John Early is a comedian and an actor, and when you need to cast an entitled, overdramatic, obtuse, performatively woke, and performatively performative gay man, his IMDb page reads like it's stalking me, right? It's a 30 Rock, high maintenance, broad city, wet, hot American summer, difficult people, Portlandia. He also plays the GOP fanboy on Fallon right now. Mm-hmm. Becoming very viral because of that. So this guy's doing okay. There is a movie called Other People that he did in 2016, written and directed by Chris Kelly, where he plays Gabe, where he takes this outsized gay character that he always does and particularizes it, specifies it. And that's the thing that I love about this guy, because he can be broad when he needs to be broad. But I went to pick a clip from one of the things I've recommended on the show before, which is his episode of a show called Netflix's The Characters, which is a bunch of different comedians. They play a bunch of different characters in their little half-hour special. And I went to try to find a clip, because I remember this thing was one of my favorite things of 2016. I remember just thinking it was fantastic. I went to look for jokes that I could pull.
Yeah.
What he's doing is so specific, and it all exists in mannerism. He gets a chance to open up and play a bunch of different characters. He plays a bro on a bad first date.
Sam just looked at his face.
I love him.
Okay.
I love him.
Thanks to the internet.
He's in everything, and
yes,
he's great.
He is.
Let me see.
Oh, you know him.
We're passing a phone around for those not on.
Oh, sure.
He's great.
Bless his heart.
on Netflix's The Characters, he also plays a Southern Christian comedian who's got a catchphrase. She's a catchphrase-based comedian. But the through line of that particular episode is he plays a gay man getting married upstate, as he mentions once or twice over the course of the special. And he gives a speech at the rehearsal dinner that just goes on forever, is excruciating, but it is excruciating in how he delivers this stuff. It's not the jokes themselves, although there's a few of those, but you can get a sense of it in this clip right here.
New experiment. I mean, I remember being young and playing doctor. You know, kids play doctor. And I mean, I remember, like, mom, you walking in on some very compromising situations.
I'm sure. I don't really
it's
know.
It's fine. Like... Shh. But yeah, there are times like that where it gets really serious. And I'm like, did I just lose my virginity? I'm 7. You know, I don't know.
So it goes to a weird place, right? Let's all agree.
Thanks for letting me laugh at that, Glenn.
Yeah. What I want to get to here is that he's like the poet laureate of narcissism of a kind that exists now. He is finding in his mannerisms stuff that you recognize that you haven't seen done before by other people. Hmm. He is locating something that is so smart and It can be very small. That particular scene ends with him going pretty big, but he doesn't need to do that because he's just so in control of what he's found. So the next season of Search Party is coming back pretty soon. He plays Elliot on that. He gets a lot more kind of elbow room to play with. The same sort of entitled, overdramatic, performatively woke guy. And it's just so funny. So this guy, he's doing great. He should do better.
So you're pulling for him. I'm going to ask a follow-up question. What do you most want to see him do? What do you wish for him?
He's perfected what he's doing right now, but I was really surprised by his performance in Other People. It's a small part. He plays the gay best friend to a gay guy.
Sure.
And he's not required to be big and arch. He's just required to be there and be very present, and he's capable of doing that. So I just want to see more of him in more places. I want this guy to be ubiquitous because he deserves it.
What's the thing I saw where he was, like, dancing to?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, kind of just like low-key dance moves all the time.
Yeah, yeah. He's on the grams, and he's got plenty of gram stories where he's just...
He pops and locks a lot.
Does a lot of popping and locking.
He's so good.
He is so good.
Nice. Thank you very much, Glenn Weldon. Katie Pressley, who are you pulling for?
I am pulling for the weird, sexy, erudite fever dreams of women over 40.
Uh-huh.
Which is to... Thank you, Sam. I think you should have started slow. I think that was a slow clap with Bill.
Yeah.
Which is to say, I am pulling for Nell Zink. I'm going to try to tell you about her books, but I really can't... I'm really just going to prepare you for them more than I can tell you about them. Nell Zink, a book of hers was given to me, started as a borrowed book, became a movement. The names of her books are The Wall Creeper, Private Novelist, Mislaid, and Nicotine.
Okay.
I really started to write down the plots to give you little bullet points. That would be like trying to bullet point the Mona Lisa. Sometimes you just have to approach a piece of art and stare at it and wonder what is going on and say, this is a weird piece of art. I think I'm into it, and it will haunt me forever.
Wow.
So Nell Zink is an American author. She currently lives in just outside Berlin. Her books are wild. They are not to be tamed, and they will shake you by the shoulders and spit you out into the world, and the world will look a little different. Mm-hmm. And just when you think she's going to be just weird, she will give you the most searingly accurate observation about something, about the town you grew up in, and you're thinking, Nell Zink, you were born in California and raised in Virginia and lived in West Philly and lived in Berlin. What are you doing talking about Linwood, Washington? How did you know their hair is so big up there? And she does it over and over and over again. I brought two illustrative quotes, one from her and one from friend to PCHH, Parul Segal, who wrote the New York Times Review. So the quote from Nell on her move to Germany, quote, I was tired of being in love with adorable men. I realized if I moved here, I could have hot, superficial, sexual relationships with guys I otherwise ignored. This is so, so key for artistic praxis. It frees up incredible amounts of time. And Parul's quote is, you don't so much read Nell Zink as step into the ring with her.
Huh. Wow.
So... you're gonna be pummeled if you choose, and I hope you do choose to pick up one of her books, but she will teach you something about your own brain and about the world you live in and the world you don't quite live in, but she lives in.
Uh-huh. What's your favorite book of hers?
The Wall Creeper, I read first. Private Novelist, I read second, and is... she wrote a novel one chapter at a time for her friend, Avner Schatz. Hmm. He writes in Hebrew. She does not really read Hebrew, but she tried to translate one of his books and wrote him chapters of that translation, and that became this book. So that one was super weird. That one was, I recommend it, but I don't know if I liked it, but I want everyone to read it. I am now reading Mislaid. It's by far the most digestible of the Zinks. She calls it agent bait. And Nicotine is next.
All right. So if you had to kind of take a running jump at a plot description, one plot description.
The Wall Creeper is about a young couple, American couple, who moves to Europe. They marry 3 weeks after meeting and so are figuring out who each other are while simultaneously discovering European sexual ethics and eco-terrorism.
Hilarity ensues.
As you do. Okay.
Hilarity ensues. And some weird, awesome sex scenes ensue.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, question mark.
How do you spell Zink?
Z-I-N-K. So Nell, N-E-L-L, Zink, Z-I-N-K.
Cool. Nice. Thank you so much. Sam Sanders, what are you pulling for, buddy?
I must preface that this person I am rooting for is one of the brightest shining lights in network TV, but I have also stopped watching any and all of her shows years ago.
Okay.
Yet I still root for her.
Okay, I think I know where
this
is going.
And I will tell you why. Do you guys want to posit a guess?
Tyra Banks.
Oh, but she easily could be on the list. Yes, yes. Close but no cigar?
Shonda Rhimes.
Shonda Rhimes.
Shonda.
Let me preface this by saying I love Shonda Rhimes, everything she stands for, but I have a thing with her shows. After the first one or two or three seasons, they fall off the rails.
Sure. I'm actually exactly with you.
And then I stop watching, right?
Yep.
So I'm in this place now where I am rooting for this woman and everything that she stands for, but I don't watch How to Get Away with Bad Plot Lines. I don't watch Scandal. I stopped watching Grey's years ago after Katherine Heigl's character tried to resuscitate a deer. Remember that one?
Right.
Yep.
And then the show kept going for like 15 more years.
14 seasons is insane. So like I'm doing this thing where I don't watch her shows, but I'm rooting for her next move really, really big time. She's going to Netflix, which is a big deal. Yep. It's a really big deal. She has been single-handedly responsible for ABC's success pretty much for years in, you know, big TV for Thursday night. But she's leaving that all behind. She actually has a show that's coming to ABC this fall. It'll stay there. Scandal will have its last season there. Murder will keep going. Grey's is still going. But she'll be at Netflix making new stuff. It's just amazing. And I think why I like her and this next move for her is because like she is at the forefront of the battle for the future of TV. And that is a battle between streaming and the old school networks. And if anyone's going to figure it out or win that battle, it is Shonda Rhimes.
That's right.
She was at ABC Studios for 15 years. Every show she made was a hit for a long time. She's going to still have all of her ABC properties intact, but she'll have even more autonomy at Netflix because you can let go of having every show be 60 minutes or having commercial breaks here or there or having a format that you stick to. You can do whatever you want on streaming, basically. And she's going to do that. And she's also in the middle of this battle between Netflix and ABC when there are some other plot points that are quite interesting. Disney and Pixar films will no longer be streamed on Netflix after 2019. Disney and Pixar, as we know, are part of the ABC conglomerate.
I was going to say, because childhood as we know it will be over.
There's that, too.
Optimism and
there's
hope
that too.
Will be dead.
But, like, I love that she has continued to build a career where she writes the future on her own terms. From day one with Grey's Anatomy, that show, Love It or Hate It, was groundbreaking.
Absolutely.
As was Scandal, as is Murder. She just changes things up, and I look forward to seeing what she does next, even if I can't watch what she's doing now.
Yep.
Interesting. Nice. Thank you, Sam Sanders.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my pick kind of mirrors Glenn's in a way. And
not mine.
Not as much yours, though I appreciate you, Katie. I picked another incredibly ubiquitous comedic presence who is hard to represent in a clip. His name is Mark Evan Jackson.
Oh, yes.
And he is in absolutely everything.
I'm Googling him now, too.
Okay, Google him now.
Mark Evan Jackson.
Yes.
You're going to make the same noise you made last time.
I like him.
Right.
It's a Mark with a C.
Yeah. Yeah. In everything.
Nice.
Love him.
I mean, I will not read his IMDb page for you. He has, I think, 80 credits in the last, like, 15 years or so.
Wow.
He pops up usually in small kind of one-off or, like, occasional recurring characters on virtually every comedy I watch on TV. He's been on Key and Peele. He's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's on The Good Place. He was on Parks and Rec. He's been on Arrested Development. He popped up in a couple episodes of You're the Worst. So many of these shows. He now pops up in a commercial for, I want to say, Verizon, but I don't care.
Right.
where he's just he's a reporter in the audience, and like Odell Beckham Jr. is on a podium, and they're probably not even on the same soundstage. But like you hear his voice, and you just immediately laugh, even though Glenn, kind of like you were saying about John Early, he's not necessarily dispensing jokes so much as he is so dryly appealing every time. And I think, I'm going to go out on a limb, I think he is the best straight man in the business right now.
I would agree. He always has been. He came to my awareness through the Thrilling Adventure Hour,
yes,
where he played Sparks Nevada. Mm. You're right. It is mannerism. It is reaction. It is not necessarily what he's saying, although what he's saying on that show, there are a lot of jokes on that show, but he wasn't the one delivering them. He was the one reacting to them.
The negative and space, absolutely.
Exactly. Just the dryness that you mentioned is so good, but he has a definable persona, mm-hmm, such that when he was cast in the latest King Kong movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Kong Skull Island.
Kong Skull Island. He gets an exit line. I don't want to ruin it. He gets an exit line that is so him. It is just like, you just feel like, ah. Like,
oh, wait, ruin it for me.
Oh, dear.
That's his line. That's his
line. Which is so perfect. He's like, you picture him in a bow tie.
Absolutely.
Well, he is a bow tie wearer.
Yes.
Often
yes.
on screen, but I think in his life. Too.
Yeah, yeah. It's all of a piece.
He's so funny, and I was saying to Katie that being a great comedic straight man is actually like a much harder job,
exactly,
in a lot of ways, and it relies, I think, arguably more heavily on comic timing.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a master of containment and control. He seems to have a range of about an inch, but he's so finely calibrated. He always makes me laugh without necessarily even having jokes. I was reading up on him to prepare for this segment. I learned that he used to be an NPR host at an affiliate in Michigan.
Whoa.
Which is just perfect. I mean, he plays Kevin, who's Raymond Holt's husband on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like a parody of an NPR host in a way.
That's right.
So he comes on, like, the fact that he has that background to me just makes him that much more perfect. Anyway, my wish for Mark Evan Jackson, in addition to just seeing more of him, which clearly I'm getting that wish, I would love to see him get to be a lead,
right,
at some
absolutely
point. I'd love to see him carry a show. I mean, you can pair him up with somebody who bounces off of him, but I think he's so funny. I'm always delighted. He pops up in commercials a lot, and I'm excited. So that in and of itself is a feat.
Excellent.
So we want to know about the people you're pulling for, so visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or on Twitter at PCHH. Also, if you like the show, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help new listeners discover the show. On Friday, we will be back to talk about the new HBO series, The Deuce. So thanks to all of you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we will see you all on Friday.